Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages for 20 years now. And we thank the Lord for all the good messages. We thank the Lord for this radio station and for you, the listener, for all your prayers and support. And so we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking more about the foundations from Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so this is our charge, this is our task for today, because the devil is intent on destroying the foundations of our nation, not just this nation, but every nation that commits to the Lord. And so the righteous have to stand up, we have to fight, we have to contend. And so that's going to be the message today, part two in If the Foundations Are Destroyed. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Psalm 94, verse 14. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. Hope you come back each and every Sunday and make us a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on over in Kenya. We are embarking on a journey to build a school here in Makunda Village, and it'll be a primary school, grades 1 through 8 with a preschool, and this will be for 200 to 300 students in Makunda Village. Makunda is a village of about 10,000 people, and there's a Catholic school there and a Muslim school, and so that is our goal. That's what we have in mind, to bring these children in and to teach them about Jesus, teach them about the Bible, and at the same time give them a good foundation in their studies so that they can go on and be productive citizens in the kingdom of God, productive citizens in the nation of Kenya. And so if you would be interested in helping us with that project, supporting Gather the Outcast Ministry, stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for contact information, and we'll get you information, or you can email me pureprairie@hotmail.com for more information and details on the school construction. Well, today we're going to be talking about what we started last week, and if you didn't hear it last week, you can go to the website, gathertheoutcast.com, and hear that radio broadcast from last week, and many, many other messages going back several years are on the archives of gathertheoutcast.com, and so you can find all the messages on every subject that you want to hear. And so do that if you want to catch up on it. Today we're going to be talking more about if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that was from Psalm 11, verse 3. And the foundations of this nation are being chipped away. The foundations of this nation are being assaulted by the devil and the demons and the kingdom of darkness. And so it is important that we know how to protect the foundations. In fact, it's not just important, it's imperative as children of God, as God's appointed people, those who are saved. It is important and imperative that we contend for this nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray to me," the Lord says, "then I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land and I will forgive their sin." And so when we pray, when we cry out to the Lord, and when we humble ourselves before Him, which is really fasting and praying in its ultimate sense, we cry out to the Lord, and the Lord says He will hear our prayer, He will forgive our sin, and He will heal our land. And so that's where we start when it comes to defending and contending for the foundations of this great nation. We start by prayer, we finish by prayer, but in between there has to be action. Faith with no works is dead. James says in James chapter 2, verse 14, faith with no works is dead. He says, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with my works, and you'll see my faith through the works that I do. And so it's imperative that we as Christians, we have to get involved in the political process. We have to get involved in speaking up on the radio, on the television, in the pulpit, and in any other way, on the street corner, or at the coffee table, at the coffee shop. We have to speak up for the kingdom of God. We can't just hide in the cave and say, God, you do it. You maintain this great nation and our heritage, and we're just going to stand back and watch you work, God. No, it doesn't work that way. God works through the people. If my people who are called by my name, those are the ones he works through. And so if we don't get involved and we don't speak up, we can't just set the kingdom of God aside and think the kingdom of God is going to maintain itself and manifest itself in the institutions, the organizations, and the government of man. What did the Apostle Paul do at the end of his life? He went to Rome and he challenged the government. Well, it cost him his head, and it may cost you something too. But we have to get involved. We can't just sit on the sideline and watch the nation deteriorate and watch the foundations get struck down to the point where there is no foundation. We have to get in the game, and we have to speak up about the kingdom of God, because that is our charge in this nation, of the people, by the people, for the people, and to bless the people. This nation has been given to us by God. It was anointed by God as a nation to be a missionary sending nation, a nation to send people all over the earth to spread the gospel, to take the light of the gospel from the United States of America. And so that is our charge, that is our mission, that is our goal. Psalm 94, verse 14. Is a psalm that gives us some encouragement, because David and the psalmists of this day, back in that day, were battling the same thing. And so they say, for the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Verse 15, for judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up against the evildoers? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? And then in verse 19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. And so it's very easy this day and age to get consumed with anxiety. We're all plugged into the news channels. We're all plugged in to the TV news and the internet news. And so it's very, very easy to get anxious. We get 24 hours of updates, breaking news. And so when you follow the news, which I suggest you do, so that you'll know what's going on, but when you follow them too much, you spend too much time on social media or on the internet watching the news or on the TV watching the news, you become very anxious, and every little incident in this country or every little incident in the Middle East or in Ukraine, it becomes magnified, it becomes blown up. Well, that's the news industry. It tries to magnify and blow up every little incident so that it creates interest in what they're doing, but also it creates anxiety if we follow it too much. So you have to spend time in your Bible. You have to spend time in prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, you have to spend time and pray, and you have to spend time in your Bible. Go to your Bible every morning and study. Set time aside to study and show yourself approved, a workman who is not ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And so when you spend time in your Bible, your mind gets focused back on the kingdom of God. Your mind gets focused on what God considers to be the most critical, the most important, and truly salvation and issues surrounding salvation. repentance, sanctification, judgment, baptism, all those things are the most important thing, more important than what the nations are doing, even the United States of America. And so you have to stay focused on your Bible, stay focused on prayer, and then God will put in proper perspective the events of the day, the current events, and all of the things that you see on TV and on the internet. Verse 20, can a throne of destruction be allied with you, O God? Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, O God? One which devises mischief by decree. And so the unrighteous are always attempting to manipulate, control, and destroy the foundations through unrighteous decrees, and then they put them into law. And I know people on both sides of the political spectrum scream about executive orders and scream about dictatorial powers and powers of certain people and usurped from the people. But the unrighteous, over the history of the last especially 50 years, the unrighteous have put into law very unrighteous and wicked decrees, and they have inscribed them into law to the point where it becomes very, very difficult to move them out of the law, to get them struck out of the law. And so the whole culture is shaped by these unrighteous decrees, and the whole culture then is changed, and it's moved in the direction that the devil wants it to go, and it's moved in the direction where the Antichrist agenda then goes forth from the United States. And trust me, when you live in other places in the world, you see how much power and impact and influence the United States of America has on the events and affairs of nations around the world. And so it's very important what happens in the political sphere, very important for us to be aware of the laws that are being passed, the laws that are being attempted to be passed. All of these things then are the ways that the unrighteous then manipulate and conspire, raise up a throne of destruction that tries to tear down the kingdom of God. Well, so God is our refuge. Verse 22, but the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge, and he has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. And so I think that's what you're seeing right now. God has ushered in this man, President Trump. In spite of all of his flaws, in spite of all of his personality weaknesses, don't get focused on that. He's not a pastor. He's not a priest. But I believe he has been put there by God. He's been anointed by God. And the fact that he lived through two assassination attempts and all the other attempts that people tried to come against him, tried to destroy him, take him out, and he made it through all of that. He could not have done that without the hand of God upon him. And so the Lord has been our stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge, and he has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. And so you're seeing many things being overturned. You're seeing many things that were not right in this country being set right. All the things that were crooked and bent, there's an attempt being made to try to straighten them out. And so that is God's plan for the next 4 years. That is God's plan for this man. He has set him here in this place over this nation to try to straighten out all the unrighteous decrees and all that was bent and try to straighten it out. Well, looking again at the foundations, we talked last week, the foundations of God's kingdom were three things. One, sanctity of human life. Genesis 1:26 says, and God created them in his image. Let us make man in our image, and we give him dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and everything that creeps on the earth. And so that is the first pillar, the first foundation, that every single person is made in the image of God. And so the opposite of that is that man, in his wickedness, by decree, has attempted to try to destroy God's primary creation, God's highest creation, the sanctity of human life. And this goes back in the United States to 1973, when it was encoded into law that basically free and unrestricted abortion is the law of the land here in the United States. And so the attempts to try to take back that territory that was given over to the devil, the attempts have been met with a lot of resistance. There's a lot of contention around this issue, and a lot of screaming and a lot of protesting. And the reason why is because this is the premier, primary foundation of God's kingdom, that every single person is created in the image of God, and God's plan is for every baby conceived in the womb to fulfill their destiny. Every single baby that is conceived in the womb, God's plan is for that baby to be born, and for that baby then to carry out its life, fulfill its destiny, and bring glory to Almighty God. And so you can see that the prophetic destiny of the United States of America has been significantly altered and significantly changed, not necessarily for the better, necessarily for the worse. It has been changed because of all the babies that have been killed. The blood of the innocents cries out from the land, just like when Cain rose up and slew Abel, his brother. The Lord said the blood of Abel cries out from the land. And so the blood of the innocents in the United States, it cries out from the incinerators, it cries out from the abortion clinics, it cries out from the soil where the blood has been spilled through abortions and through murder. And so this is not the will of God. This goes against God's will, where he has declared a prophetic destiny over every single person, and he has prophesied a prophetic declaration over every single person and every single nation. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." So God told Jeremiah, even before you were born, I knew you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Well, if you're listening to me out there today, understand this. God has a plan for your life. If you're listening to me today, understand this. If you don't know what God's purpose for creating you and God's purpose for your life, you need to pray. You need to fast. You need to pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, show me." And then listen for God. He will speak to you. He will show you in dreams or visions. He'll send a prophet to speak to you, or he'll speak to you through his holy word. You will know what God's plan for your life is. You will know what your destiny is. You will know why you were created. And if you do that today, God will bless you, and you will know with certainty. You will walk with confidence when your feet step on the earth. You'll be taking territory for the kingdom of God, and you will know that you're on the right path. Well, Jeremiah also was spoken to by God in verse 6, and he said, Then Jeremiah said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth. Everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command, you shall speak.'" And so the Lord said, "Don't worry, Jeremiah, that you're a young person, that you're a young man, because I have commanded you, and I'm going to give you the words to speak, and I'm going to send you to a nation, and they're not going to receive your words sometimes. Just like when I speak over the radio, sometimes people don't receive my words. Sometimes people shut the radio off or flip the channel. But God has appointed me to be speaking over the radio, and he has blessed me in doing this for 20 years. And so when he said to Jeremiah, I have commanded you, I'm going to be with you, I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah went out with boldness, and he spoke the word of God. And so when we take it into our own hands, the killing of babies, the murder of babies, it changes the prophetic destiny of this nation, changes the prophetic destiny of the mother and the father, and certainly that baby who will be in heaven for sure, but that prophetic destiny of that child will never be fulfilled in the way that God intended. And so that is the first pillar of God's foundations, and that is the pillar of the sanctity of human life. We need to contend in every way we can, protect mothers, protect babies in the womb who have no voice. We have to become their voice and protect them in every way that we can. Well, the second pillar of God's creation was marriage between one man and one woman, the sanctity of marriage. Marriage is God's idea. Sex is God's idea. The creation, the procreation of human beings is God's idea. He created all of that to happen. He created sexual attraction between male and female, and anything other than that, any sexual attraction other than that with animals or male to male or female to female or transgender to female or transgender to male or any of the other multiple perversions of one man, one woman, male to female, is a perversion of the devil, and it is against God's kingdom. It is going to bring judgment on those who practice that, not only judgment in this life, but judgment in the eternal life to come. 1 Corinthians 6:9 talks about sexual perversion. These are the words of Apostle Paul. And he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," that is to say, effeminate by perversion, "nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so you can see this list, well, it pretty much is a laundry list of all the unrighteous, wicked deeds that people do. But Paul starts out mostly with sexual perversions, with the things that have to do with sexual immorality. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate by perversion, nor homosexuals." All of those things are sexual perversions. They go against God's plan for the nuclear family, one man, one woman, children born to one man and one woman. And so these things then are considered to be sexual immorality, sexual perversions, and that is not the plan of God. It goes against God's plan, and so it's not surprising when you think about the devil coming against God's kingdom and the pillars of God's kingdom. It's not surprising that he is attacking the nuclear family. He's attacking marriage between one man and one woman. It's happening here in the United States to a great degree, but even sadly, it's happening all over the world, and the United States is promoting it and exporting it, this perversion, to places all over the world. I see that from Kenya, because the people in Kenya are receiving the messages that have been spewed by the devil here in the United States regarding sexual perversion and marriage, which is between one man and one woman, and now that kind of perversion is promoted in countries, even in Africa. And so it is important that we understand that we have to contend for marriage, we have to contend for the sanctity of marriage and for the nuclear family, and pray for your children, pray for your own life, that you get in alignment with God's plan for the sanctity of marriage. Well, verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 6 says, "And such were some of you." Paul is talking to these people who were in these bondages of sexual immorality. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, some of you have been in these perversions, some of you have been in drunkenness and swindlers and revilers and covetousness, but Paul says, you have been washed. In other words, they came out of these perversions. They came out of the wickedness and the lifestyles that were bringing glory to the devil. And so they came out, and now they're bringing glory to God with their life. And so it's possible for you out there listening today, if you're trapped in any of these sexual perversions, sexual immorality, adultery, or anything, even watching pornography on the internet, it's very important that you turn your life over to the Lord, get down on your knees and cry out to Him. He can set you free of all these bondages. He can set you free and get you on the path back to a life that brings glory and honor to God, back to a path of righteousness, and you will be washed clean. When you confess, when you repent of your sin, you will be washed clean. Well, we'll continue with this message next week. Didn't get through the whole thing today. We'll continue next week talking about defense of Israel and other things regarding the foundations of God's kingdom. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We invite you to partner with us. Sit down today, write us out a check. We'd love to hear from you. Keep these radio broadcasts coming and the other aspects of the ministry in Africa. Sit down today, send us a note. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. And you can go to the website, gatheroftheoutcasts.com, gatheroftheoutcasts.com. Use your debit card, your credit card there. You can also go to PayPal at paypal.me/gatheroftheoutcasts. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your support and your prayers. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.